Okay, last time when we looked at some verses from Colossae, we saw that, well, in fact, throughout the whole book, we have an enemy. And this enemy doesn't want us to continue walking with Jesus. He doesn't want us to continue walking with him. So he comes up with all kinds of schemes and all kinds of devices to trying to get us away from worshipping and following Jesus. And he did this by doctrines about Christ. He did this about the gospel. And last week we saw how there were some who wanted the Gentile believers to follow the ways of the Torah. And Paul is saying, look, you've been circumcised with Christ. You've been baptized in the baptismal waters. And the only sacrifice you now need is the sacrifice of Jesus. But we didn't really get to a verse that I'm just going to speak on this morning. I'm going to just speak, it's unusual, just on one verse. And it's Colossians 2:15. When he disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Well, that's a kind of a verse that you have to go like that. Well, I do anyway. I have to go, what does that mean? What does that mean for us? What is Paul trying to convey? He's trying to tell us something happened on the cross. Something happened so wonderful on the cross, we sometimes miss it. Because so far, he said, when Jesus died on the cross, through the cross, you get forgiveness of sins. Through the cross, you're made alive. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. And we live in that forgiveness and we're made alive. But he says there's more to the death of Jesus than just him paying for your sin, paying your debt. There's more to it than that. And sometimes the question I want to ask this morning is, are we living not just in his forgiveness, not just in his love, not just being made alive, but are we also living in the victory and the triumph that the death of Christ gave us over the enemy? Because we sometimes miss that. He says there, he disarmed the rulers, the powers, and the authorities. He made a public spectacle, a display of the enemy, because he triumphed over them. In one word, victory. Now, we might like forgiveness, because that doesn't actually have any weight upon us. We quite like the fact he's made us alive and we've been baptized, circumcised with Christ. But then you come to this verse, and it should tell us something about the enemy. This enemy who wants to get you so you don't continue your walk. He disarmed the rulers, the powers, and authorities. What does that actually mean? Well, I thought if you think to it of a normal army, how do you disarm an army? Well, you take away its weapons. You take away its authority. You take away its power. They still exist in some form, but they ain't got no power. They ain't got no authority. They ain't got no weapons. Because when Jesus died, it says he disarmed them. But the enemy doesn't want you to realize he's disarmed. He doesn't want you to realize that when Jesus died, he disarmed him. Because he wants you and me to think he's still got power and authority over us. I want to tell you this morning, he hasn't. Because it says in my Bible that when he died, he disarmed the rulers, the powers, and authorities. It means he stripped them. You know, he took away everything that they had. You know what it says in Peter? It says that he roars around like a ferocious lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's like a lion. He's not a lion. What's like a lion? I wonder if some of the children, what could it mean when it says he's like a lion? Any ideas? No? How about this? This is my weird thinking. You can think I'm a bit weird. How about he's got no claws? How about he's got some teeth missing? How about he can't roar? He's been disarmed. He's like a lion. And he will try and whatever, he will try and get whatever he's got into you. He will try so you'll give him a place in your life. He will try and get you away from Christ, but he has no power. He has been disarmed. And this morning, if you take nothing else, I want you to know he has no victory over you. He cannot triumph over you because Jesus triumphed on the cross. Jesus got the victory on the cross. He disarmed the rulers, the powers, and the authorities. I want us to know that, because he wants you not to do, the enemy wants you not to believe that. He wants you to think he can make you do things. He wants you to think he can do all kinds of stuff. He's been disarmed. Just like an army left with no tanks, no drones, no planes, no warships, no bombs, no bullets. He's disarmed. But he hasn't quite gone off the scene yet. He's fatally wounded. And so fatally wounded, he will try, as it were, while he's still got some time, he will try and cause damage. What does it say in Romans? It says this: what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. The answer is nothing. Nothing separates us. But the enemy will think that you can be. And he will say, well, look what's happening. Look at your tribulation. Look at your distress. Look how you're being persecuted. Look at the fact you're struggling. Look at the fact that things are harsh. Look at the fact things are difficult. Oh, you say God loves you? Nothing separates you from the love of God. And he triumphed on the cross. Hold on to that. Because he goes on in Romans to say, but in all things we conquer through him who loved us. For I'm convinced death, life, angels, principalities, present things to come, nor powers, height, depth, any created thing can separate us from the love of God. He triumphed on the cross. But as I said, he is like a wounded, he's wounded, and they tell me that when things are wounded, that's when they're probably the most dangerous. And at the moment, he is fatally wounded. And that's why Paul says, you know, see that no advantage would be taken us of Satan, for we're not ignorant of his schemes. Christ triumphed. Christ victory. Fatally wounded. He's been disarmed. But he's still got things up his sleeve that he wants to try and get me and you not walking with our Lord. And I'm not going to go into what all his schemes are this morning. If you don't know, maybe I will have to do that, or Pastor Kirk, what the schemes of the enemy are. But what does James say? He says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he does what? Flee. Yeah, what does flee mean? Flee. Yeah. Who is living in the victory of Christ? We are not fighting him in order to gain victory. We already have the victory. We're not battling in order to win. In Christ, we have already won. So it's not a battle where the outcome is uncertain. That's why if we have lives full of the Spirit, his love flowing through us, and we have a life that is alive to God, and we resist these schemes, we resist what he's trying to do in our lives, with the lies, with the things he throws at us, he has to go. With Jesus in the wilderness, it took 3 times before he fled. But he did flee, because Jesus' life was submitted to God. And he resisted the devil, and he went. See, we're looking at Hebrews. Probably why I'm using a lot of Hebrews verse. Here's another one from Hebrews. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, listen, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fears. For surely it's not angels he helps, but the descendants of Abraham's. Did you see what he said there? By his death, he destroys him who holds the power, that is the devil. We sometimes give too much credit to him, the devil, and sometimes we sort of get complacency. We shouldn't do either. But we need to realize he's been destroyed. We need to realize he's been disarmed. We need to realize that Christ in his death triumphed over the enemy. You know, when sometimes people talk of triumph and victory, we tend to think of the resurrection as being the triumph over the grave, the triumph over death, which is true. But it's on the cross, the Bible tells us, that he disarmed him, that he destroyed him. That by his death, he destroyed him. Not only did Jesus' death on the cross pay our debt to God, but his death means triumph over the powers and authorities. We just need to let that sink in, don't we? Are we living just in his forgiveness, or are we living in the fact that his death was triumphed? And then there's our other phrase, which is a bit peculiar. He made a public display of the enemy. What's that? That's a bit of a strange statement. And what that is, Paul, in writing to this church here in Colossae, is reminding them of what he said to the Corinthian church. He said, but thanks be to God, who always lead us in triumph in Christ, and manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are the fragrance of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. How did he make a spectacle? How did he do it? Well, the picture is of a Victorian Roman general parading his defeated enemies through the streets of Rome. Christ won the victory over the demonic forces and the devil on the cross. They're defeated. They're defeated. And I want to tell you some other good news. Satan is so restricted, so mortally wounded, he can only do what God allows him to do. He cannot do more or cause you more aggro, cause you more trouble, cause you more difficulties, more than what God allows him to do. He is fatally wounded. See, through our Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, God cancelled the believer's debt. And he also defeated Satan. Now, some of you are thinking, well, that's a bit strange, because when I look round, I don't see much triumph. When I look round, I don't see much victory, either in the church or without. So how can you tell me, John, this morning, that on his death, he disarmed the enemy and made a public spectacle of him? How can you say that when you look around? How is that possible? Are you sure you got this right? Well, I had to scratched my brain a bit. I do a lot of scratching my brain in the week. And I found this quote. There's a theologian called Oscar Coleman. I never heard of him. But he says this. And he wrote this shortly after World War II. And he compared the cross with D-Day, when the Allies' invasion of Normandy assured their ultimate victory. Yet the hell of war continued for another 11 months until VE Day, the day of Allied victory in Europe, is to compare with his second coming. That's how he looked at it. His death has disarmed him. His death has triumphed. His death has caused victory. But the ultimate one happens when he returns and he gets thrown into the lake of fire. And until then, he is fatally wounded. And someone else has said, when Satan reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Because his future is the lake of fire. But this morning, let us just think about this. Christ became sin for us on the cross, that we might be forgiven, so that we might be made alive, so that we might live lives that are in his victory, that we might live lives that are in his triumph, that we might live lives that reflect what Christ did for us on the cross. Through the cross is where Jesus paid the debt. Through the cross is where he forgives. Through the cross is where we have life. Through the cross, the enemy is disarmed. Through the cross, he is victorious over the enemy, and for all to see, he is defeated. Through the cross, where I first saw the light. And sometimes we sort of like diminish the cross, but Paul said it's the cross. I preach nothing but the cross. So what about your life? What about my life? Because this is not theory. This is not just something to give some good thought to. It's some theological exercise that in the death of on the cross when he died, not only did he pay for our sins and paid the debt and took sin upon himself, not only did we get forgiven, but he triumphed over the enemy and disarmed him. It has to have something in our lives. We have to apply that truth into our lives. And then that's that verse in 1 Corinthians 10, where he says that God is faithful and will not allow anything to tempt you beyond what you are able to endure, because God is faithful and he will do it. That's how you apply that truth to your life. Because he's triumphed, because he has defeated the devil on the cross, when you are tempted, there's an escape. And yes, you can live in the power of God. Yes, you can live that way. Martin Luther said this, Christ's victory is the overcoming of the law of sin or flesh, the world, the devil, death, hell, and all evils. And this is the victory he has given us. So my question this morning is, are we living in his victory? Are we living in what his death also brings us? I think I said last time, sometimes the expectations of new believers is too low. The expectations of people coming to Christ, the bar is set too low. Holiness, set too low. Righteousness, set too low. In other words, they're told, well, you're never going to achieve it, so don't bother. You're never going to achieve what the Bible says of victory living, so don't bother. God understands, God accepts you. He's not that. I even heard one preacher say, God's not even interested or bothered when you sin. He died so that we might not be slaves to sin. He died so that sin might not rule over us. He died so that the power of sin might not be over us. And I think Estella mentioned this verse last week. These things I have spoken to you. In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. And so this morning the message is just a simple one, short and concise one, but it's this. Jesus disarmed the enemy. He hasn't got the power and authority some people think he has. He's been disarmed, but he likes to pretend he has. And because of that, Jesus triumphed over him. And because he triumphed, because the victory is his, we can live in that victory. If our lives are submitted to God, we can resist him and he has to flee from us. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Isn't that wonderful news? We don't have to live slaves to sin. We can be slaves to Christ instead. And through his death, we can live in his victory. Amen.